Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The disciples cried out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Please be seated. As we mentioned before the service began, it's customary in much of the Christian church to not sing the Gloria in Excelsis, the song of the angels, and that which follows after it during the Advent season. It's also customary that the reading for the first Sunday in Advent be that for Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where we hear the disciples saying much the same thing that the angels had said all those many years before. Not that they knew it, they had not been eyewitnesses to the birth. And quite likely, the whole nativity story was not yet told. It probably wasn't until Luke went back much later and interviewed the people who had been there. Perhaps Mary herself had gone and dug into the records that we have now for ourselves, that record of what the angel said. But once you have a good theme, you really can't let go of it. Glory to God in the highest and peace. You have an echo of that refrain in this right here. And Jesus is glorified even as he continues to humble himself. His glory will be at its peak as he is raised up on the cross to suffer and die for you and me, for the crowd that cheered for him and for the crowd that jeered, for those Pharisees who were telling Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They shouldn't be singing about you that way. God only deserves this glory." And Jesus quite legitimately could have said, "If you only knew." Yes, God only deserves this. And this is the Son of God, God himself in our flesh, riding the donkey down Olivet and back the rest of the way up Zion into Jerusalem through the gates as the crowd cheers. And his disciples, not just the 12, but that larger group of disciples that have been following him off and on, in and out of his mission, his ministry, his preaching, his teaching, his healing, even his raising from the dead, are now there giving witness to what they had seen and giving glory to God because of the evidence that they had before him. They weren't there only to glorify God on a whim. But as it says, for all the mighty works that they had seen. Then there is blessings to this King who comes in. Blessings to the Lord God of Israel. Blessings echoing the Old Testament prophecies. And blessings that flow from. We praise Jesus, but we can only do that because Jesus blesses us. We acknowledge him as our King, as our Savior, because he is our King and our Savior. We didn't seat him on his throne. In fact, according to our old sinful natures, we do all we can to keep him off of his throne. We want to rule. We want it our way. We want to be the blessed ones. We want to be the exalted ones. Even if we're meek, even if we're shy, even if we're the most introverted person in the world, we still want in some way or another to be raised up, to have something over, above, beyond that which others have, to be special. But the only thing that's special about us by nature is that we are poor, sinful beings. That we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. And that we need this King who rides humbly into Jerusalem on a donkey to save us from our sins. And we need him then not just to ride in Jerusalem that one day, but we need him to ride into our own hearts and minds, our lives constantly. We need to be raised up with him as his word comes to us, as we return to our baptisms and our sins being washed away, and God again and again says to us, "I forgive you." As we return to the altar week after week to be strengthened, sustained, and forgiven, and brought into closer communion with our King, with our Savior, and with the God who sent him. We need to be raised up. We need to be healed. The mighty works that the disciples saw, they were going on the physical evidence, the teaching, those words of power, the healing, where lepers walked away clean, where the crippled got up and leapt for joy, and where even the dead came out of the tomb. But the mightiest work they had seen, they probably didn't even realize. And that is this man daring to forgive sins and having the power, the authority to do so. That mighty work, God continues to work for you. That mighty work comes to you day after day and says, I forgive you. You are mine. I love you. I rode into Jerusalem so they could crucify me, put me to death in a most horrible manner so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have life forevermore with me and the Father who sent me. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And that peace in heaven comes down to earth. That peace in heaven is yours. Even if you're just as likely at some time or another in your life to be yelling, crucify him, as you are, Hosanna, that peace is yours by gift, by the great, surpassing, overwhelming love of God in Christ Jesus. The blessings come up to God. We say, hallelujah, Hosanna, praise, because God looked down in love at us and said, I forgive you all your sins. The blessing, the honor, the glory, the praise belong by nature to the Father, to the Son who he sent, and to the Holy Spirit who brings these gifts to us. But they belong to us now by gift. God praises us and blesses us and honors us and calls us his own dear children. Dear children, just as those children around us, our own, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, the other ones whom we love, to whom we lavish all sorts of attention, and we ourselves, as our parents, did that to us. God, even more specially and more intimately, loves each one of us in that same way. Just as if he had given birth to each one of us, just as if he had raised us, just as if he had educated us, just as if he had provided every good thing. Oh, by the way, he did all of those things, didn't he? He knit you together in your mother's womb. He called you forth from darkness into light through baptism and the power of his holy word. He raised you in the church and educated you in the ways of salvation. And he provided you with this faith that you could meet every assault of the devil and this sinful world. That you could return in humble and heartfelt repentance and go forth in abiding joy and celebration. Blessings to God. Peace in heaven. And God's blessings to you. And peace on earth. And peace in your heart and in your mind. Because your sins are forgiven. Because your Savior did come. He chose to be born in a manger. He chose to live the life that he lived. He chose to suffer and die, just as his Father chose that for him. He willingly agreed, and he gladly obeyed. And he chose you. He selected you. He called you from darkness into light, and he wants to continue calling you forward and onward. He wants to call you to stand and be faithful. If the whole world is falling apart around you, you stand unshaken on the solid rock that is Christ himself. Because just as he did enter into Jerusalem, just as the celebration was full-throated and enthusiastic, how much more so is it when he returns? When he comes in his final glory with all of the heavenly host, when he calls you forth from the grave or ends your life here on earth, and brings to you the fulfillment of life everlasting. and that blessing and that peace and that love will be complete. And you will be absolutely healed and whole, because he is coming back. As he entered into Jerusalem, as he entered into your life, so he will re-enter this world. And he will end it. And he will bring forth the new beginning, the new heavens, the new earth, and the completion of the mission that he started all those many years before. That came to an end, yet found its ultimate restart in the darkness of the cross. His tomb opened. His life resumed. Your tomb also will open, and your life will resume. And the blessing and the honor and the peace of heaven will be yours completely. Forever and ever. You have Christ's word on it. You have his life and his blood on it. And you have his pledge that it will come to pass, and that he will lead you forth into the new Jerusalem to live forever with him and the Spirit and the Father who sent him in peace and glory forever and ever. God grant you this gift. God grant you this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.